All right, thanks very much. It's a pleasure to be here after a few good years. And thanks for the invitation. First, perhaps a word of explanation about my current affiliation. I'm in Warsaw, now in Poland, and the National Center for Nuclear Research. We do as much nuclear research there as at CERN. CERN is also has nuclear research in the name, but it's actually particle physics plus other things. And I moved there because, let's see if I can make this work. Because a few years ago, 2 years ago, I got a big grant, something like 1.5 million euro, to start a new group there. So there's like 4 postdocs there, and a graduate student, and you can see they're all smiling, which makes me, even me, try to smile a bit. It's a sort of big project. We are trying to be productive, producing lots of papers, and generally staying in the area of. That's what I said. Even I'm trying to smile. very active, nice group. Okay, so the outline of my talk is why TeV scale SUSY. The title was, TeV scale SUSY. So I'll try to explain why TeV scale, although this has already been discussed in previous talks. And then I'll step back and make some comments about how one should actually try to compare theory with experiment, or experimental data with theory in a proper way, and discuss it in the context of the Higgs boson and other data from the LHC and elsewhere. Also, I'll talk about the importance of dark matter, abundance, and searches in the context of the constrained MSSM and beyond, in the constrained way, means constrained NMSSM, for example, but then also in the MSSM, in the general MSSM, and see how things compare. So this is based on a couple of recent papers with some updates. Okay, so I guess the question which is on not only on Carlos's mind is, where is SUSY? Would like to know that. And after the first round of at the LHC, we still don't know where SUSY is, but perhaps we know better where SUSY is not. So it's not in the, it's unlikely to be in the few hundred GeV regime. And I'll try to convince myself that the Higgs mass is giving us strong hints for where SUSY actually is. And the title suggests that, the TeV scale. So as you know, in terms of a brief introduction, the main news from the LHC so far has been that the Higgs has been discovered at 125 or 6 GeV, and there have been no convincing deviations from the standard model. In particular, the BS to mu plus mu minus process branching ratio has been measured by LHCb, basically sitting on the standard model, although with large error bars still. And there are stringent lower limits on superpartner masses, approaching even 2 TeV for the gluino, for example, now. Which is, basically, we have to talk now about this TeV scale for SUSY. Now, this has been the main news from the LHC, and the main news from the media, as we all know, has been the supersymmetry dead already, after the first round. Of course, there's been no sign of supersymmetry, but claiming that supersymmetry is dead is a bit too much. To me, it's nothing new. As you know, in the past, we've already had such claims. I pulled this out from my archives in 2003 after CDF failed to find supersymmetry. There have been also articles of this sort. And so now, with the new round, we have basically that all has increased. The energy has increased, the luminosity, and the number of physicists failing to find SUSY have all increased by a factor of 10. Sorry? Well, it doesn't make any strong or worse case either. So the question is, is constrained SUSY still alive or not in this context? And people have made strong statements. Even physicists have made strong statements. At an open symposium of the European Strategy Preparatory Group in Krakow, in Poland, in September, this sort of statement was injected. The constrained MSSM paradigm is hardly tenable. I was out of town. I was out of the country for the whole month. So when I came back, I noticed that. And I also noticed that people like Fabio Zwiner, for example, made statements at the end of the Morion meeting, electrolytic session, conventional SUSY model, CMSSM, and MSSM, not even C here, do not work as such and should be finally rest in peace. Well, it should finally rest in peace. This is a strong statement. Fabio, Antonio Maziero at last Planck meeting said constraint SUSE is in coma. Right. Really? I wanted to know why. Because I coined the conjecture some time ago before the LHC started that SUSE cannot be experimentally ruled out. Can you think of any signature to with current colliders, current experiments? It can only be discovered. Well, of course, it can be also abandoned, but not ruled out. Cannot be ruled out by experiment. This is a pretty strong statement. I thought I was wrong at some point, but actually, no. So the new piece of experimental information that they have about possible new physics is the mass of the Higgs and the properties of the Higgs, in particular the mass. The question is this a blessing or a curse for supersymmetry? Well, in some sense, it's a blessing because, let me remind you, first of all, if it is a fundamental scalar, there's no reason not to believe that it's a fundamental scalar at the moment. It points towards supersymmetry. If it is light and standard like, again, it points towards supersymmetry. I've stolen this nice plot from Alex Pomerol, which sort of nicely summarizes this, that in the standard model, the Higgs could be anywhere, as we know, Higgs mass. In the MSSM, it could be up to 130 or 35 GeV, depending on assumptions you make. But it's basically, if it came out to be 140, it would have been very bad for a low-energy supersymmetry, even GeV-scale supersymmetry. In composite models, it's sort of struggling to get the Higgs mass like this. So it's a blessing in a sense that it's light standard model of Higgs, precisely as low-energy supersymmetry models predicted. Perhaps on the high side of it, but still within. Now, I'm showing you this plot here, the Higgs mass versus the SUSE scale, and SUSE, which is the product of the stop masses, geometric average. And this is in the context of the CMSSM. It's a posterior probability density, total 1 sigma and 2 sigma region. I'll explain this plot in the next couple of slides. But this is the plot which tells me, well, told me, and I hope it tells you, if you haven't heard this yet from other people, of yourself, of your own research, that if you just take the Higgs mass and add a theory error of 3G, of say 3 GeV, and you also add only lower bounds from, in this case, CMS on direct SUSE searches, then this is generically what you get for the Higgs. The Higgs mass suggests this SUSE scale from at least at 1 sigma, 2 TeV up. So it's a TeV scale for SUSE. No surprise, it hasn't been seen.
So what are the observer experience?
I'll explain it all. This is just an appetizer. Okay? So let me just go ahead with this. So how do you compare data with experiment, with theory? You can do, I mean, we as phenomenologists, right? We can either, we could compute various observables, like Margaret-Rank density, Higgs mass, various la, 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 and we compare them. You can say, you know, is this within 1 sigma, it's in. If it is outside of, say, 1 or 2 sigma, it's out. This is a still popular approach used by Hawaii et al., Mahmoudi et al. I think it's a bit, constrained. It's a bit limited. More sophisticated ways based on the likelihood function, which is either chi-square based or Bayesian. Master code people use chi-square based approach. We are using Bayesian approach, in which we build a likelihood function, proper likelihood function, and then we compare. Okay. So let me just briefly tell you how we build this likelihood function. Depending on what one does, for positive measurements, you basically assume a Gaussian. So, for example, you know, in SUSE, you compute things as a function of your model's parameters. For example, you know, the mass of the W, the abundance, or the Higgs mass, they are functions of your model parameters. So, it's an observable model's parameters. You compute it, and you compare it with the central value and the sigma, exponential sigma, create a chi-square the usual way, and then you assume a Gaussian distribution. If you have a theory error, like for example in the Higgs mass, you have a substantial theory error, much larger than experimental error now, apparently, then you can add the theory error to the experimental error. If you have several observables, you take the product of the likelihoods. assume they are correct. If you have limits, you can smear limits out again with some sort of assumed theory errors. In the case of LHC limits, it's a bit more complicated than that. Let me just, and I'll mention on this as well. Since Bayesian statistics is not widely used still in our profession, let me just briefly remind those who are not quite in the field that this approach, which has actually made a furore, in the last decades, is based on an unpublished paper of some unknown reverend in the north of England, which tells you that basically you assume a certain range of your model's parameters, range and distribution. Then you compute the likelihood function, which as I just described, is where you compare the data with your predictions. And then you take the product of the two and compute posterior probability density of about the model after seeing the data. So it's prior times likelihood. Now, if your likelihood is, if the data is constraining the model, then the likelihood is peaked somewhere, and then the posterior will follow the likelihood. If the likelihood is flat, your posterior will follow the prior. So I'll be showing the posterior distributions. Let's just take the constraint number system to start with. Everybody knows this model. And just one thing, just mention that, as I said, you want to also include lower limits from direct searches for supersymmetry, and you can do it actually quite easily with a little bit of help from Razor friends from the Razor group at CMS. We could actually reproduce CMS limits for the Razor very nicely. I will not go into the details unless you ask me. So the red is our curve, 95%, and the dashed line is the CMS official limit. And you can combine limits from various nodes and so on and so forth. So what I'm saying is that even limits from the LHC we include in the likelihood function in the proper statistical way. Then we do a big, very big scan of the parameter space, scanning over four CMS parameters, CMS SM parameters, plus also additional standard model parameters, which do play a role in this whole game. And notice that we take exceedingly large ranges of supersymmetric parameters. You may ask, why? Is this not crazy? It is perhaps crazy, but our idea is to take the data as the starting point and see what the data tells me about supersymmetry and not assume that supersymmetry should be necessarily below, say, 1 TeV and then complain about the data. LEP. Although it's true that this can be lowered now down even to 1. But at that time, it didn't look this way. I'll comment on that later. Sorry? I'll come to that in a second. Okay, so we're doing this very big scan over a very big space, basically trying to find everything. Not assuming and not fixing tan beta, not assuming a 0 to be equal to 0 or something. Like that. And then we take all the relevant limits from the LHC, the Higgs mass, Drake abundance, G minus 2, although we know that in constraint models it fails miserably, B2S gamma, and so on and so forth, and also BS2 plus mu minus. This is a long list, and there are lots of details. We take them with experimental errors and theory errors. What is really important is just a few of those constraints. The Higgs mass, of course, lower limits, the dark matter density, to some extent BS mu, and G minus 2, but not in the constraint models. So let's first take just the Higgs mass. Let's see what the Higgs mass alone tells me about SUSY in the constraint framework, although this is actually going to be more general. Already a few talks have gone over this, Carlos and others. So we know that basically the one loop corrections are large, two loop corrections are also large but negative, go down. I should mention here that we do not include three-loop corrections that I guess Jonathan will be talking about tomorrow, which lift, again, the Higgs mass up, so that will help reducing the tension a little bit, although they are not included yet in the standard codes we use soft SUSY. So there are two ways of increasing the Higgs mass. One is to increase M SUSY, of course, because, you know, in this formula, if you take larger M SUSY, the Higgs mass grows. Or another way is to take this mixing angle, the subsector, large. Then you have to increase the Higgs mass so much. So let's just take the Higgs mass alone and model it in the likelihood through this Gaussian function. The value for the CM from the CMS, because they have consistent value, seems like Atlas, and like Atlas, one value. And we take the exponential error and some sort of theory error, which nobody really knows what it is, 2-3 GE. We also take in the likelihood a lower limit from CMS, because we don't want to violate direct searches. But this is not going to be actually very relevant. So when I take this in the likelihood function and I do a scan, I get this 1 sigma total probability region and 95% or 2 sigma total probability region for in the M-half M0 plane. So you can see that it's all pointing towards TeV scale SUSY. And the 1D distribution of the Higgs mass is sitting on top of 126 GeV. And it's only small way distorted from the Gaussian. So that means that there is no tension between the lower limit from CMS or Atlas and the Higgs mass of 126 GeV. And it's also consistent with limits from flavor, as we know. So in some sense, the Higgs mass of 126 might be considered a curse for supersymmetry because it points towards the TeVs, multi-TeV scale of SUSY. And I don't care about naturalness at this point. I want to know what the Higgs mass tells me about the SUSY scale. And it tells me multi-TeV scale. John Judici called it the worst possible value. Okay, just a couple of plots. So this is the plot I showed you as an appetizer initially. This is in the stop one Higgs mass plane, basically the same thing.
Why did you call it
like that? Well, because in terms of SUSY, it pushes you into multi-TeV scale. In terms of SUSY, it pushes into a scale that would be hard to reach. It doesn't kill completely composite models. Leaves you in limbo. Okay, discussion later. Okay, now, if the Higgs were actually, say, instead of 126, say 116 GeV, then the total probability region would be sitting on top of the CMS limit. Basically, it would be in tension with the limit, and the actual distribution would be shifted from the initial Gaussian quite a bit. So there would be a tension. But the fact that at 126 there is no distortion, there is no tension, it all points naturally towards multi-TeV scale. This has been already discussed by Degrassi this morning and maybe others. Okay, now let's see what dark matter tells me about this picture. Is it all consistent? It is, but actually constrains it for quite a bit. We assume Lorentz abundance, the errors are very tiny on this, and this actually selects from this previous big plane only certain subregions, which are consistent with Lorentz abundance. Normally, in constrained SUSY, generally in SUSY, in most cases, the Lorentz abundance comes out too big, and there are only a few mechanisms of reducing the Lorentz abundance. One is the neutralino Stalko annihilation mechanism. One is resonance through the zero scalar resonance annihilation. One is focus point region where the neutralino is a mixed Beano Higgsino case, which is Jonathan will be talking about. And there is this new region of Higgsino LSP with a mass of about 1 TeV. And this only comes in this extended scan of M0, M1/2 up to several TeV, even tens of TeV. So this is this new region. In the terms of posterior PDF, this is this big region. It's generic. Plus, there are stop LSP correlation cases sometimes, but they are very rare. Now, in the CMSSM, these are the only dark matter favorite regions. There is nothing else. And actually, in the in beyond the CMSSM, that's what it is. There's very little else. In the CMSSM, they are separated. In the outside models, they are often mixed with each other.
But, the MSSM, how light or heavy are your stops?
Sorry?
How light or heavy are your stops?
In the what?
When you say MSSM or CMSSM.
CMSSM.
I mean, do we have a light stop here? Or
here's the stop mass. The stop. Hold on. So the stops, for the stop one, you have two cases. Either you have large mixing, and then the stop sits in the co-annihilation region, where the best fit point also is. It's sort of one TeV. Or you have this afunnel region, where the stop is slightly heavier, and the mixing becomes slightly reduced. And then the mixing is much smaller, and instead you have to raise the Suzy scale, and then you have very heavy stops. Okay. Best fit, I don't discuss, okay? So the question is, of course, can such multi-TeV ranges of Suzy parameters be experimentally tested? And, you can imagine with TeV masses, so I'm plotting here in the CMSSM the gluino masses versus mass versus the mass of the first two generations quarks. And this is in TeV, so gluino will be reached up to, say, maybe 2.73 TeV, so up to here, and likewise with the quarks. So only this part is likely to be probed. The rest will remain far beyond the reach of the LHC. So I've sort of noticed this a bit, downbeat mood in the conference so far. Is this all? Are we done with particle physics? Well, let's remember there's more out there than meets the eye, right? And dark matter may be our way out, right? This is just a summary plot showing what the situation is: wind mass versus cross sections, spin independent cross section. The xenon 100 limit is the strongest at the moment, and this is 100 to 111 below the LHC started. So those predictions have now gone down. This confusion region, which I'm not going to discuss, this is the Suzy region. In the CMSSM, the cross sections that correspond to the three or four regions that I flashed out are as follows. So we have the Stalko annihilation region, higher mass is the afunnel region, then the focus point region where the cross sections are the largest, and perhaps in some tension already with xenon 100 bound, that's not much tension. And there's this big Higgsian region. Also, I'm plotting here, so this is the current limit from xenon 100, and these are the projected limits of sensitivities from LUX, which is already, I think, running, and will achieve its sensitivity perhaps next year, down to here, and then in a few years from now, one tone detectors will go down as far as here. So basically, depending on how you look at it, it seems that dark matter detectors will, within a year, probe a large region of this generic new Higgsino region, and in a few years from now, we'll cover it all. If nothing is found in dark matter detectors, it will be very, I think, hard to maintain momentum in supersymmetry. But on the other hand, why be negative? Why be pessimistic now? This looks pretty positive.
Even if you measure that, there will be one measurement that will have more of a supersymmetry on top, right?
Still better than what we have now. Okay. So this may be our only chance, what I'm saying. This may be our only chance to see within our scientific lifetime. Okay, see something new. Tough luck. All right, so one-tone detectors will probe it, most of it, basically. And then LUX next year perhaps can give us a nice surprise. I should also mention that, and there's this interesting one-TeV Higgsino region, which is quite, most likely sort of, to me, is more one of the most likely regions. Because it's generically corresponding to the Higgs mass of 126. What about BS mu mu? I better go speed up because I'm running a bit late. This has been measured, and the errors are still large. So at the moment, it's actually not particularly constraining, but in a few years, actually in a good few years, if the precision on the experimental and the theory side is produced, is reduced, I mean, if the precision is increased about 5-10% error, then actually it may have an interesting implication for the CMSSM. This is today, and this is in the future. It will remove the afinal region. So if a signal is found at 500 GeV, of course, we wouldn't be rejoicing it, but that means the afinal region will be gone. Now, very briefly about other models. First of all, the constrained MSSM is still consistent with all the data, except for G minus 2 and R gamma gamma, if you care about that. But it does favor heavy scale for SUSY. In less unified models, of course, you can still allow for somewhat lower SUSY masses, but not by much. I'll just flash this slide that has been often shown from Giuardi, and shows that, suggests that in less constrained models, you have more freedom. It's actually not quite what we find, because you have to be careful. Different models just come sometimes with different ranges and assumptions and codes. In the CNMSSM, what the situation is, we have an extra singlet, Higgs, and also singlino. And then this has been discussed by a number of people. So there are a couple of cases that people have studied, including ourselves. One is that perhaps there could be second Higgs, second scalar sitting on top of the, I mean, first of all, the lightest Higgs or the second lightest, or they could be degenerate with each other. Or what I will try to convince you is a particularly interesting scenario is when the pseudoscalar, the lightest pseudoscalar, is actually sitting on top of the lightest scalar. Again, big scan. I will basically follow what we did for the CMSSM. And if we assume, I mean, if there's the lightest Higgs that is the one that's been discovered, this is in the still smaller range, 2 by 4 TeV and not 20 by 10. You can actually see that it sort of more or less resembles the CMSSM limit, except for the big Higgsino region that would show up here. So CNMSSM going to with the things are saying that it doesn't help much. It basically still reproduces statistically the CMSSM, even in the dark matter regime. The case when the Higgs, the second Higgs, is the discovered one, is actually inconsistent with dark matter searches, produces too much oligabundance. Now, there's a case which we studied in this recent paper where the pseudoscalar may be sitting on top of the lightest scalar. And this requires relaxing some of the CNMSSM constraints. In particular, the Higgs masses, soft masses, would not be unified. And then the lightest Higgs would be standard model-like, doublet-dominated, and the pseudoscalar would be singlet-dominated and can have an enhanced gamma-gamma coupling. So we may have a situation where the Higgs, which will require light Giugino in the loop to produce this coupling, we have a situation when the lightest Higgs will not produce an enhancement in gamma-gamma, but the enhancement will come from the pseudoscalar. On the other hand, in the WW and ZZ mode, there will be no enhancement whatsoever. This requires, as I said, light Giugino. So Giugino, in this case, has to be below a few hundred GeV in order to give enough enhancement. There are three cases which we've identified. One is when the LSP, the neutralino, is singlino Higgsino. And we are plotting here this in the sigma p versus m chi plot because we wanted to also check the recombinance and the limits from direct searches. But what is important is that blue means an enhancement of more than 45%. So it's actually can be very enhanced in the gamma-gamma mode and could be also less enhanced. But could be also as much as enhanced as this. So this is the Higgsino mode, and this is the Bino Higgsino focus point region. In all of them, you can have a big enhancement in the gamma-gamma mode. As a bonus, you can get also an enhancement in the BB bar and tau tau decay modes at the same time, simultaneously. So, but obviously, I know what you wanted to say. You wanted to say.
No, I was going to ask.
Okay.
So how is A1 Clovius? So which one is
it? Okay. Is it mostly single? Okay. So our initial motivation was, of course, as everybody is, that perhaps there was some enhancement in gamma-gamma in the gluon fusion. But this is probably gone. On the other hand, it comes out, there is this mode BB bar associated, Higgs associated production, which is completely hopeless in the standard model, but in the MSSM can be strongly enhanced by tan beta, large tan beta. And thanks to Sally for producing, providing me with this plot at the last moment, sort of. Where if tan beta is large, and in other cases can be up to 40, 50, and even larger sometimes, in some cases, you can have a big enhancement in the production cross section. Oh, and then we have a simultaneous diphoton tau tau and BB bar enhancement in the standard model subdominant mode. So this would be a mode which could be quite striking if people looked at it. Okay, very briefly, the situation in the MSSM. In the MSSM, again, you can do a very big scan. We take 9 parameters because 19 parameters of the PMSSM that people take, I think, we're just too much and doesn't provide much additional information. Even with 9 parameters, you find that the Higgs mass suggests typically the tau mass, stop mass 1 of at least, say, 800 GeV or more. So the Higgs mass of 126 does suggest a TeV or more scale for SUSY, even in the general MSSM. Okay, so these are the constraints we take into account. And again, does dark matter help, or can it help? So there are those, this is sigma P versus mass, and there are those three generic regions. This is the Gugino region, which in the CMSSM was three small, tau co-annihilation and a funnel region. Here they are much more spread out. This is the mixed region where the neutralino is mixed Bino-Higgsino, and its cross-section is actually quite large. And there's this Higgsino, 1 TeV Higgsino region. And you can see again, lux and then xenon 100 will probe, 1,000, 1 T tone will probe the whole Higgsino region, but not so much for the lighter masses. I should mention here that there's a new determination of the sigma pi n term, which is the big, provides the biggest uncertainty, the cross section for direct detection, and it's actually gone down a bit. So the value used in micromegas is here, the value that is, I would say, favored is down here. As a result, all the cross sections go down, and the constraining power of xenon 100 limit is weaker as a result. So in MSSM, signal is likely, especially in this 1 TeV Higgsino region, but it's not guaranteed in general. Now, just one last final point. I've not mentioned, but not really talked about the G minus 2 anomaly. In the constrained models, G minus 2 anomaly is phased miserably because there you assume leptons and quarks to be unified. And for the G minus 2 anomaly, you need a light muon or neutrino. So in the general MSSM, you can, of course, do it because they are not unified. And if you want to have a substantial G minus 2 anomaly, then the mass of the lightest of the LSP has to be less than 500 GeV. And also this muon and this neutrino have to be light enough in this P9 MSSM. So this is, again, a window for the LHC. Although, G minus 2 anomaly, we have to rely on junk bonds to boost our hopes for seeing SUSY at the LHC. This may be so. But certainly this is a window of opportunity. If I can have 1 minute, okay? There's a question on everybody's mind, on many people's mind, is what about fine-tuning, naturalness? You've gone crazy, you've gone to 10 TeV scales, and you consider SUSY, is this all still sensible? So I said, on the one hand, we can have our prejudice, where SUSY should be. On the other hand, we have a piece of experimental data, the Higgs mass, which tells me that the scale of SUSY, if SUSY is at all realized, is in the multi-TeV regime, period. So I prefer to follow the data rather than my motivation. And let me remind you that the initial motivation for, say, cosmic inflation was to get rid of unwanted relics like monopoles in the universe. And now it's primordial density perturbation. So motivation can change. Naturalness, to me, suggests fundamental Higgs, and that means if within fundamental Higgs, suggests SUSY. And if it is SUSY and 120 Higgs GeV mass, it favors heavy SUSY scale. Fine-tuning is needed at any scale above the electroweak scale, so 1 GeV is not a magic number. If it is 1% or 0.5% or 1 per mil, I just don't like those arguments saying, if it is above 1 GeV, it's dead. How come? So if SUSY is discovered, the large fine-tuning will have to be fixed somehow, understood. If it is not discovered, we can all forget about that, about it anyway. But let me just give you one historical, semi-historical argument for naturalness, how it's gone astray. Remember, some of us, you know, still remember, some of us, many of us are too young to remember it, and some of us are too old to remember it. But remember, there were arguments in the 90s where the top mass should be. And people use this sort of argument, saying that the top mass cannot be too heavy, right? It had to be 35, 60. Even a machine was built in Japan to look at it, you know, straight at the bottom of the cross section. We never found it, right? There, it came out to be three times heavier. There was a naturalness argument. There was an upper limit of 200 GeV on the top mass from low-energy SUSY, and everybody considered it's an academic limit because it was basically too far, too high. To take home, even the simplest SUSY constraint model, CMSSM, looks fine. It just, except for G minus 2 and R gamma gamma, it just suggests multi-GeV scale for SUSY. Dark matter may be our way out, maybe ray of hope to test, to see new physics. If that fails, I think we'll be in rather bad situation. In particular, and in other simple SUSY models, the situation is similar. Basically, big bite by Lux in 2014, and then one-tone detectors will cover big ranges of most of the constrained model parameter spaces, although not completely all. 1 GeV Higgsian region is quite interesting because it is related directly to this Higgs mass. G minus 2 fails miserably in constrained models, but in the MSSM, if it is a true anomaly, some electroweakiness will have to be within 500 GeV. And finally, perhaps it would be worth considering experimentalists, now we're not running, maybe they can look into this standard model subdominant mode of BB bar H production, where they can have a simultaneous enhancement in gamma gamma, tau tau, and BB bar. So the real message is SUSY may be too heavy for the LHC, but dark matter may come to the rescue. Thank you.
So if dark matter, the confusing region that I realize you were not going to spend, didn't want to talk about in this, but if dark matter was in that region, would all of these constrained models of the MSSM be killed?
Pretty much. Even the MSSM is struggling because in order to allow for such light regions, you get away with lead bounds. People will try to have the pseudo scalar light enough and decaying into the Higgs decaying to pseudo scalars which were below 5 GeV or something, and then BS to mu mu completely kills you. There's simply no way to do it. No decent way of doing it.
I guess I wanted to ask, is there some reason you do mu positive?
Fitting BS to gamma, but at the TeV scale, BS gamma contribution is tiny anyway. No?
Right. So the main thing is the direct detection rate.
Precisely. And the second big thing is, as you're right, in the negative mu case, there is a cancellation between two contributions, Higgs contribution and the square contribution. And then occasionally, you may go, the cross section can have a dive. So then you can have, say, 500 GeV cross-section going very low, which is a cancellation. This could happen. Right? So even if Lux and then Xenon on tone, don't find anything. You can always say, Susie is sitting in this cancellation, but who will care?
Well, so I come back to something I asked earlier. I accept it. You're not too worried about naturalness, but I mean, once you push the scale so high, why do you insist on minimal models where, you know, all these particles are, where the spectrum is sort of particularly simple? Why should that be a, you know, a principle that one should stick to? So you didn't talk at all about the, what are they called, simply unnatural or whatever, with a split spectrum, light stops, lighter gluinos. I mean, it would help with some of the constraints that...
I don't think it will. I mean, you can always go more complicated way.
Well, is it really...
I don't think it... People have gone, you know, what do you want to add? You want to add extra singlets, 3, 4, 5 extra singlets? What are you going to gain out of it? Nothing. You will get less, more diluted predictions, that's all. Higgs mass can be you will not lower the Susie scale by adding extra singlets. What do you want to add? I don't find anything particularly attractive in terms of adding new stuff. What I'm saying is, even the stuff that we've had for the last few decades is still enough. And it just, the Higgs mass alone pushes you to the world's multi-TeV scale, and nothing can really change that.
Let's see. So then, multi-TV scale. So far as I know, so unless you constrain the parameter 18 in certain way, you can have few hundred GeV stops. So and still be consistent with the Higgs mass. So the Higgs mass alone is not sufficient information, right?
Fair enough. There are still pockets or small islands here and there where stops, for example, can be light, okay? And they will be closed, those islands, okay?
They will be what?
They will be removed from the scene, most likely, because these are accidental cases.
They will be explored, you mean? They will be probed?
They will be probed.
They could be as remote to physics as any other region, because it's all speculative.
Look, if Susie is found with a stop of 300, 400, 500 GeV, I'll be more than happy. Everybody, yeah, I'll be more than happy. But what I'm saying is that generically, I'm not sure if we should be counting on it. Generically, the Higgs mass is pointing towards the Susie scale of TeV. Those cases that you're talking about are very fine-tuned cases.
Okay, let's thank Lajek again.